Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on RenegadeRadio.com. Also, Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, TuneIn, Radio Public, YouTube.
Wow.
Everywhere you get podcasts. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, but not tonight. Tonight we're going metal. It's a very metal show.
It's very metal and makeup.
Metal and makeup. They go together. They go together. That, of course, is my co-host.
Hannah Babak. Hello.
Yes. Everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ.
Hey.
How are you, Hannah?
I'm well. How are you?
It's been a while since you've been on the show.
Yeah, I've been absent for a month.
Yeah, that was our birthday show you were on.
Mm-hmm.
Then you missed Marnie the Wing Girl and Sin and Twisted. You missed Jill Love.
Yeah. I caught that nasty little flu that was going around Los Angeles.
Did you?
Yeah.
And then you missed the witch comic.
I did. I missed a lot of fun shit.
A lot of fun shit. But this is fun. It's tonight's a Hannah's choice.
It's my choice.
It's your choice. And tell us who you chose to have be on the show and why.
I decided to have Sergio from Thorns of Sin on because he's an awesome.
That's Sergio mm-hmm. Valera, is that correct?
Varela.
Varela, excuse me.
Yep.
And that's the second week in a row I've messed up somebody's name.
That's why I was going to have you go for the last name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know it either?
No.
Varela. Varela. That's
Sergio Varela from Thorns of Sin.
Mm-hmm.
And?
We got the one and only Christina Cox, better known as X, Los Angeles go-to makeup artist.
See, now I know your real name.
Yeah.
I just knew you was X.
My government, right?
Right. So I was going to ask you the witness protection program. I didn't know what the hell was going on with X.
No, it's shortened. I mean, my name is Christiana. Nobody ever really says it anyways. Mm-hmm. It's just a mouthful.
Not X the band, not X Japan.
No, just like X. X for X, right. You know, which is shortened now to X.
Oh, it's a Christina Aguilera thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know it is. Anyway, before we get started, we have got to do our sponsors real quick. Audible, you're on the road.
Not yet.
No, but you've been on the road before.
Just a little bit.
Okay, so you've never been on the road. But if you were, audiobooks are the way to go.
Oh, definitely.
And we have a great, unbelievable deal. Unbelievable. Not only do you get a book, any book you want. What's a book that you've been meaning to read, X?
I've been wanting to watch The Favorite ever since now that the movie came out. So,
so good.
Is it? Yes. I'm so excited.
The Favorite, the one with the... Who's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, with... what's her face?
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. So is that based on... That's based on a book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Indeed.
Huh?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure they have that book on Audible.
Sure.
And or you can get that book. But not only that, you get that book. Get a 30-day free trial. That sounds great.
30 days?
30 days. Also, you get two Audible originals. Ooh. And I should have checked what they have this month because they change it every time.
December.
I know. Last month they had a Patti Smith spoken word concert. They had Stephen Fry with Hijinks in the Victorian Age. All sorts of things. I don't know what they have this month, but I'm sure it's great. So you get two of six Audible originals, a book, and a 30-day trial. All you metalheads, read. No, I know for sure they have Corey Taylor from Slipknot, and I know, and Tanya's like, I don't like Slipknot, but well, if you like Slipknot, he's got a book on Audible, and you know what, whether you like him or not, I'm sure he's got some great stories.
Right.
Yeah.
It's nothing we haven't heard before from the road.
I don't know about that, and who knows what's going on with the Slipknot groupies, but anyway.
They pee on him.
You read the book.
I read the story on Facebook.
So how do you, well, I'm sure he has other stories. How do you get
I'm done with that. That was enough.
What, peeing on guys?
Yeah.
Okay. We got a good conversation going. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show. Audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show. And I'm sure there's books about peeing on guys, whatever you want. Also, Doomy's Home Cooking is our other sponsor. That's a great segue.
Mm.
From urine to delicious food.
Yummy.
Doomy's Home Cooking is the best vegan. You've been there, Rex, right?
Indeed.
Have you? Yes. The best. You ever been there?
I was just there on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? That's the best place amazing. To go after late night, right?
It was amazing.
So I don't know how this guy does it. He was in the studio. He couldn't even explain it.
What?
I had shrimp po' boy last time I was there.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
You've been to the Mexican restaurant, Nex-Mex?
No, I've not been there.
It's good.
The flautas.
Flautas. Oh.
Big chicken flautas. Amazing. What did you have?
I had the Big Mac. And
on
some,
a secret menu.
And then some, what was it, like chicken strips or something like that? Yeah, it was chicken strips and fries.
Right.
And also jalapeno.
Right.
Somethings.
Oh, the jalapeno poppers. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, those are great. Now, that we're talking about the Hollywood location. That's 1253 Vine Street. And that's where we usually go. Now they have a and I'm frantically looking to for the address, one in Culver City.
Wow.
Where they gave away free Thanksgiving dinner.
And that was City Terrace, I believe.
Well, that's the address. Yeah. It's City Terrace. Yeah, 4140 City Terrace Drive, Culver City, California. So if you're in L.A. and we have a worldwide audience, Hollywood, Culver City, if you're in Toronto, go to Doomy's Home Cooking. So, delicious. You peed on guys?
No. Have you?
No, but you just said. You're done with peeing on guys. And I
no,
you
know, I'm done with reading about
you guys haven't even had the
guys.
Fireball
what
shot
what,
yet.
Right?
What have you been reading?
I read a lot of questionable shit.
I guess.
I don't want anybody to look at my Google history when I die.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, so you're not you're not reading books, you're just Googling piss.
Oh. Depends on the day.
I don't know what
depends
what,
on the day.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Depends what kind of mood I wake up in.
I'm not into that. I've never been into that.
I'm not into that. It just happened, someone posted it and I was like, what's this about?
X just seems to have some
Literally, I tell people all the time, you're not into it until you try it. Literally, you got to try everything once.
Really?
Don't say no. You never know.
Are you into that?
You never know. I don't know. I've never
tried
it.
That's a yes, by the way. Sergio, Sergio, you're the main guest. This is the way it's going to be tonight. You're hanging with the girls tonight. So,
I'm going to get peed on by two girls, I guess. Well,
good for you. I guarantee I'm not. So,
and I hope you don't pee on me.
And we just had tea too, and so that goes right through you.
Yeah, that's.
And we got a big thing of water too, splashing.
I'm drinking,
drinking a Heineken.
24-ounce Heineken. So
somebody's going to have to pee later.
Yeah,
so
anyway, I'm going to be peeing on everyone.
So. Anyway, so Sergio is the lead singer, guitar player. Actually, does everything in Thorns of Sin. Now, how did you meet Sergio?
Rainbow.
What
the
a surprise.
Rainbow Room,
yeah.
What a surprise. You met a metal musician at the Rainbow.
Right.
How recent was this?
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that. Pretty recent.
Pretty recent.
Because I told Hannah, we had a mix up a couple weeks ago. Or actually, you were sick, so you couldn't come here. I said, when you come in 2 weeks, you can have any guest you want.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I was the chosen one.
And
I
you
guess.
Met a guy 2 weeks ago, and here he is.
Yeah.
And he's good looking because I have that.
By the way,
we were supposed to have Jamie Gendron, the wonderful comedian, tonight. She had a little accident. I hope she's home safe. I'm going to text her and make sure she gets home.
In that rain.
Yeah. So she said, yeah, he's really cute.
Oh, thank you.
Sergio, so where do you, I was trying to find some information on you, some dirt online.
That's why you added me on Facebook, huh?
Yeah. And I've been listening to your stuff. Okay. Unfortunately, I have a free trial at Tidal now. I don't have a free trial at Spotify, so I didn't. I listened to what I could at Spotify. Oh no, you don't know.
I don't.
I had 3 months. I had sidebar here, and this is gonna get back to you with the music.
Sure.
Because I don't know what I know how much you get from these streaming sites. I'm curious.
Oh.
I had a 3 month free trial at Spotify.
Right.
Then I had when that expired, I got a 3 month free trial. For Apple Music.
And so now you're doing Tidal.
So that one, now I got 6 months for Tidal.
They're never going to tie you down.
That's a year for free music. Now, you're on Apple Music and you're on Spotify.
Yeah.
Now, how much money do you get from that?
Do I have to?
Do you ever get checks from there?
Not really. Yeah. I think after a certain amount of money that you make through streams, you get a check.
Yeah,
but
you're not quite there yet.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like me and YouTube.
Because of
yeah.
YouTube, you know, it's YouTube. Most people that check it out go on YouTube,
right?
And there's no money to be made in YouTube unless you're getting millions of views.
Trust me. Well, maybe the show, but
and even then, it's not that huge of a profit. So
it's like the United States. It's like it's feast or famine.
Mm.
I'm in the famine now. Logan Paul and PewDiePie and all these guys—they're making a killing.
Right.
I'm not.
Well, it also depends on the on the type of music that I chose to start playing and stuff. So, I didn't really do it for the money. I just kind of wanted to get exposed. And nowadays, it's either online or online. So
Actually, last week we had Jacqueline, who was the lead singer of Otto's Daughter, the industrial band, and I was asking her because she started a band like in '99, kind of when the music business was leaving. And I said, "Do you regret that?" She's like, "No, I think it's better now, because you don't have to sign to a corporate label.
Right,
your stuff's out there. Yeah, you have the same mindset."
Yeah, there's pros and cons. You know, obviously, if you have a record label backing you up, you know, you can go on tour. You can get all kinds of ads on magazines or online, or you know, any like even on Spotify. You know,
right, right.
But it's a little bit more difficult to do it on your own if it's, you know,
right,
if you're the only one putting the money into it. But
well, and yeah, we're going to get into that. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in South America, Colombia.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, in the capital, Bogota.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Wow. So no wonder you know a lot about cocaine. We were talking about cocaine. we were across the street drinking some tea.
No, we were not.
No, we went. There was some cocaine talk.
Well, we're talking about anesthetics.
That too. Yeah.
That's how it came to be. Yeah, that's how it came. That's how we started talking
about
it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
What?
That it was used as an anesthetic.
No, it was used for all sorts of things. It used to be in coke.
Well, yeah.
That's why we started talking about
right.
it. But yeah, anyway, I'm from.
It'll knock you out.
Completely innocent.
Yeah. No, well, you're talking to me, so I wasn't completely innocent. But
yeah, we were talking about the comparison between like cocaine and lidocaine or whatever, and that's how. But
right.
But you
so
know.
How's it as a little boy growing up in Colombia?
It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing.
I've never been.
I still miss it. I miss it so much. Everybody was, I mean, even though there's a lot of social and political problems, we still manage to keep a happy face at all times. We like to have a good spirit,
right?
Know, when no matter how bad the times are, and I think I've kept that with me as much as I can. You know.
Yeah.
Being in a different, you know, in a contrasting culture, I guess, over here.
Now, is that where you first heard metal, was in Colombia?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah? And what was the first, like, metal band that you were digging?
Well, the first band that made an impact in me was, probably between Iron Maiden and Metallica.
Yeah?
First album I got into was Injustice for All.
And, oh, yeah?
And to this day, I still listen to it. It's awesome. I'm not a huge Metallica fan at all, but that album actually changed my life.
Well, let's be honest. That's the last good album that they put out.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, from there, it's
it's downfall.
Hit and miss. Couple hits here and there, but not so much.
Yeah, but it wasn't their, you know, like anything they put out after that wasn't really what I was really into.
Right.
What I got into them for anyway. So.
Well, my theory on that is Metallica. Up until that album, sounded like nobody else. They sounded like just like unique. Afterwards, they sounded like any other band.
Yeah, and the production
like they were good, but
better
yeah.
than most bands in that style anyway. So
yeah.
So that I mean, and I grew up. I listened to
I mean, you can only do that so long.
I listened to a lot of other bands as well because my older brother was in high school, but when I was like 8.
Right.
So he was bringing a lot of music home, and he would bring his metal musician friends over, and I was like, damn, I want to be like those dudes with the guitar and like just rock, and you know, they were cool, you know.
Yeah.
And
now, did you understand the English, or are you just like...
Well, I started learning English when I was about... I was about that age, about 8.
Okay.
I started going to bilingual school, and the whole time I grew up, it was all English subjects.
Now, X, you had a question about Colombia.
I was gonna say I don't really know anybody from Colombia. I won't claim that I do, but you are my friend now. But I had one teacher, literally, like I think it was like what grade? Maybe 10th grade.
Yeah.
And she was Colombian, and the only reason why I'm thinking about this is because it's Christmas time, and she told me she used to drink hot chocolate with cheese in it.
Yes.
With literal stick of cheese.
That is
a very
common
holiday.
Thing over there, yes.
Yeah, and I'm so curious because, you know, I'm a kind of a foodie. But she literally would say, like, chocolate and cheese taste great together.
You would
and
be so surprised.
Thing. What kind of cheese?
Usually mozzarella.
String cheese.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, in the hot chocolate.
And here's the thing. So cheese and sweets go so well together.
They do. Yeah.
They really do. And we actually have this... Yeah.
Nobody knows better than I do.
We actually have this thing called bocadillos, which is it's like a cube made of guava paste. It's hardened. And what you do is you put a layer of that cheese on top and you bite it, kind of like a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it is the most amazing, most hard to describe flavor in the world. It's amazing. It's nice. It's such a great tasting little treat.
So instead of marshmallows, you put cheese. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, have you tried it? You got to try
no,
it.
No, so that's what I'm going to tell you.
Maybe,
like,
maybe another time when we come back.
Yeah.
I don't really eat cheese,
if
but
it's
I'll
the
try
winter
it
time.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the vegan thing. You have to put.
I have like a refrigerator full of awesome cashew vegan cheese.
Right,
we can make it
say,
with
substitute.
Yeah.
Substitute. But sure, it's totally a good thing.
What other unusual dishes do you have in Colombia that I wouldn't know about?
We have our own soda, just called Colombiana. And what you do is you mix beer with it.
Beer and soda.
And it's amazing. It's amazing as well.
There's a Diet Coke here actually, if you want to mix it. It makes it mad.
No, I don't think it'll work. But they actually sell that in a can.
What?
It's the weirdest thing. But yeah, I mean,
once again,
I guess
sweet and sour.
From you know, living here and thinking about it from the American viewpoint, thinking about, you know, soda and beer being mixed is kind of weird. But growing up over there, it was such a normal thing, you know.
When was the first time you sipped your first soda and beer?
Oh, man. Must have been...
When you were 8, listening to Metallica?
Probably not. You're not too far off.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was around
when
that
time. When
you were
10, listening to Pantera.
Well, my siblings were older than me. I was the baby of the family.
Right.
And, you know, they would all be able to buy alcohol or whatever. And sometimes they would have parties at home when the parents went away, you know, so I definitely had my first experience with alcohol
Sergio
when I was
Lito
like 7.
Yeah. Sergio Lito, here's your hot chocolate with cheese. And then when they leave, it's like, have some beer and Coke.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And go to bed.
My hot chocolate and cheese.
Yes. And then when you get a little older, who knows what would happen. Now, how long have you known X?
5 years?
Yeah.
Now, how did you two meet?
Oh, my gosh.
They're a mutual friend. Yeah.
But we became
metalheads?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she came over when I first met her. And she came over to get ready together and do our makeup. And I had old rock and roll playing at Bad Company,
gosh.
And she came in and she's like, this is my jam.
That,
and we just like did makeup together, listened to rock and roll, and
it was
headed
fast
up that night.
Friends. We were fast
Wait a second. So I'm just trying to say, so you were, I'm trying to picture this now.
So I was brought with a friend.
Oh, you were brought with a friend and you guys were doing your makeup.
He knows Freddie.
I was brought with Freddie. Freddie literally was like, hey, we're going to go to Hannah's and get ready. And I'm like, who the hell is Hannah? And then I met Hannah and I was like, I'm Hannah's friend for sure. Hannah's friend. Especially with the music. Like, that's one thing that really kind of connected us. We were always... I listen to everything. I'm not going to claim to be a metalhead, but I for sure love it.
Right.
And it's a part of my life. Growing up in California, you listen to everything.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. So you grew up in where? L.A.?
Yeah. Well, West L.A., yeah.
Okay.
I basically was a Ladera Heights baby. And then
Ladera Heights? Where's that?
Yeah, it's kind of Baldwin Hills.
They
call it Ladera Heights now. That's what the cool kids call it. I don't know.
All right. The Black Beverly Hills.
Yeah, that's what they say. I grew up out there, and
yeah, I'm not making that up. That's what they call it.
That's what they literally call it. There's a song,
yeah. I don't know the song, but I'm guessing it's not metal.
No, it's Frank Ocean.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. No, wait, I have heard that song. Okay,
yeah.
So when did you start doing makeup?
I've actually grew up like a little boy. I hated makeup, and so it became something that, as I became more of a girly girl, quote unquote, it became something that was a part of me. So I would say like 21.
Yeah.
I think I never really bought makeup unless it was like painting my nails until I was like 21. And it started with eyeliner. Mm. Eyeliner always starts this way. And then I was like, okay, what goes with this stuff? And I just bought everything else. And it kind of became something that I was not really good at. But because I like to draw and color and I'm that type. I'm all like creative.
Oh, one of those creative types.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You are very creative.
Yeah. It became
in what way, Hannah?
That was easy.
She's artistic and she's friendly and.
Well, I got that, but I mean, what specific art have you seen her do?
Oh, I doodle everywhere.
Yeah,
I'm
does.
Surprised I don't have a pen and paper. I can't sit still. That's why I'm
I caught that already.
Okay, from a girl's point of view, she can sit there and do her makeup with an itty-bitty little mirror and just get everything perfect. And
right.
I can't even do that in a big mirror. It's just...
Well, you were actually very... you had a critical eye for everybody's eyebrows when we were having tea.
She's a brow queen,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so how... Sergio's brows okay?
Oh, my God.
I mean...
They seem true. I'm
a guy. I mean, I'm allowed to have my eyebrows be fucked up.
But wait, are they trimmed? Because they actually look, because they kind of go. Yeah.
No, you can tell they're not trimmed.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how she can figure that out from over there.
Because they seem to. I mean, they seem to come to a point here.
No, well, but that's everybody's.
That's
eyebrows.
His natural arch.
Yeah, I was gonna say
though.
Yours are like that too, though.
But she's gonna give you a little bit of a eyebrow
a
makeover.
Yeah.
Trim.
You think I need a trim?
Honestly, everyone needs a trim.
Really?
Yeah, because eyebrows
not
grow
Hannah.
Like hair. No,
that's because I trim mine every day.
That's the thing. A lot of guys don't know what goes into our face.
Exactly.
We literally look at ourselves and we're like, that hair's longer trim.
Yeah, tell me about it.
That hair, where's that coming from? Pluck.
until I got a job in skincare, I had no idea. Now I know.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I can see, like,
dude, skin is your largest organ. Nobody takes care of it like it's an organ.
Right.
Yeah.
Some guys take care of it like it's an organ, but that's a whole other thing. But anyway, yeah. So Sergio, when did you start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar when I was 13. Well, I started playing piano when I was 8,
mm-hmm.
and I started figuring things out by ear. And then I was like, this is cool. But my brother had his metal friends bringing, records from Rat and Venom and, Metallica and stuff. So I was like, that's what I want to do.
And you were playing Elton John on the piano, or
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And
hey guys, got some Billy Joel for you.
Yeah, they're like, that's not cool. So I started, trying to figure out how to get into the cool group.
Right.
And so I started playing guitar when I was 13, and like the first month, I really sucked at it. I was like, oh man, I'm not gonna be able to do this. And then a little bit before that month was over, I was able to change chords, and I was like, all right. I think I can do this, know, and then I failed a couple of years in school because that's all I did. All I did was play guitar.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do, literally. Like, I wouldn't do any of my homework. I would wake up and I would, like, the first thing I would do is get the guitar in my hands. And
yeah,
so.
What did your parents think of that?
They didn't think it was a great idea, but
yeah.
You know, I guess we're all here. We all have our own brain, and we all make our own decisions. Even then, and that was the choice I made.
You're on the Dark Mark show now. Now, here's the real question. This is what Anna wants to know. When did you start growing your hair long?
I was probably actually, this is a funny story because I was going to private school over there, and I wasn't allowed to have long hair. And I was already a metalhead.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to have long hair, so I always found ways to grow my hair out. I would put gel in it and like slick it back so it didn't look as long. and after a while, like, the teachers would start noticing, okay, well, it's like past your ears now, and so they would be like, oh, well, you're not allowed to get in the school bus unless you cut your hair, and we're gonna call your parents.
Wow.
And so that's the kind of thing that I had to live with for a few years. And and then
in Colombia, is it, I mean, here in America, obviously, it's anything goes. In Colombia, is it? I mean, how much forward or backward are they? I mean, are guys with long hair?
Well,
was that weird?
It was a private school, so
I got that. Yeah, but just out and about, is it?
It's pretty much the same,
yeah,
really.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everyone's kind of, everybody's got their own style. There's punks, there's goths, there's
right.
there's everything over there,
Sure.
But back then, it was a little bit more frowned upon because it was kind of like a newer thing, that it, came from the 80s and 90s kids, So, it wasn't as normal. But even then, even if it was accepted, I was still going to a private school. So it was a rule that I had to have short hair. So I had to, I had to abide by the rules for a while.
And how rich are your parents?
Rich,
yeah. I mean, you're going to private school.
Well, my dad was pretty well off. Not rich, but we belong.
Yeah, doing okay. Yeah,
we're like in middle class.
Upper middle class.
Yeah. So we were okay, and the fact that I failed 2 years in school, in that private school, they were like not happy at all. Yeah. So I, you know, I went to a different school that wasn't as prestigious as the one that I was going to right. at that time, and I was able to grow my hair out a little bit longer there.
Nice.
And then we ended up moving over here just because there was a lot of social political problems over here, and we just you know. Luckily, my family had their visas from years before, mm-hmm. before all the visa issues started happening. Mm-hmm. And anyway,
say I'm pre-Trump. Here. Go ahead and say
exactly.
Right. Yeah, pre-Trump.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Yes. This is so. Yes. So you moved to LA when?
97.
97. Okay. Yeah. So what was the first band that you started?
The first band that I started there when I was in school. Actually, it was okay. in the first year that I play guitar.
Yeah.
That was the first band that I had, and I just came up with some really dumb riffs that I, you know, I look back at it and I'm like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. but it was still cool, you know. I still had that hunger to, you know, go out there and play in front of people sure. and just make my own music instead of always right. playing somebody else's, which I still enjoyed to do every once in a while, like right. playing and singing people's songs, but you know, performing my own, there's nothing like it, you know.
Because yeah, listening to Thorns of Sin,
so you actually listen to it.
Well, I listened to a few. The only thing is that's what I was saying, because Spotify would skip and like,
yeah.
It would skip the tracks, and then sometimes it would play another band, and you know. But I listened to a few tracks, and it seems to me, I liked it.
Awesome.
And it seems to me that your passion's really, and you do everything on this, and we're going to talk about
that. Yeah, on that record, I did record every instrument and every.
It seems
vocal.
To me guitar is really was really your passion. I mean, you can sing, and you wanted to sing because you're a songwriter.
Hmm.
But it seems to me you're really because you were there's some serious shredding out there.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of.
Have you listened to it, Hannah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of production. You know, I spent a lot of. You know, that album took me maybe like 3 years to make, but a lot of that time was put into production.
Right.
I wrote the songs maybe like 6 months and I structured them, everything, played them, and then most of the time after that was just production, which, you know, it's I'm really picky about, and it's so easy to get a good song and mess it up with bad production.
Right.
So that's what was always in the back of my head. I was like, okay, it needs to have like top quality, and I'm a little bit, you know, like I like to excel at everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't want to pay somebody to, you know, to do my production because I knew that at some point I was going to be like, oh, but I don't like this and that, you right. know. Plus, I did go to school for recording as well, so I just wanted to do it on my own to see if I could do it, and
right.
it seems like I pulled it off.
That's the Destroy the Light that came out in 2015.
Yes.
But because what I was reading online is that you're trying to find a band,
mm-hmm.
and you're just so frustrated you couldn't find the right band. You're like, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it happened. You know, I was in different bands before, and I did, you know, I played with different people, and always playing people's music was mm-hmm. not my thing. It just wasn't.
Right.
Even if I brought ideas to the table, people were like, oh, it's not good. No, you need to play it like this, or you need to do this. And it's like, fuck, why are people telling me what to do when I can do it myself, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And that's something that it's always going to be part of me, you know, because of the experience that I went through. Like, people always trying to put my ideas down, and it's like, you know what, like, do your thing, I'm going to do mine, and you know, we'll
right.
see. I mean, it's not a competition, but I definitely need to be able to get my ideas out without it being ignored or, you know, taken for granted or whatever,
right.
you know. So
I'm just plugging X's phone in here. So,
are you sure?
That's what you're doing? The sound over
yeah,
there.
Just
a little funny on camera.
Yeah, I just they saw that. So
sorry.
I was listening to what you're saying, but it's like, you know, when you talk about people that do every instrument, you know, like Prince, Trent Reznor, people like that.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot in the metal genre, or do you?
Actually, I feel like you do.
Hannah, you're the metal expert. You tell me.
You don't really see a lot of it. I don't see a lot of it.
Yeah.
I see it more in the black metal world. There's mm-hmm. there's a lot more one man bands.
Right.
I don't know what it has to do with, but But just a lot of people have ideas, and maybe it's a social issue that they have with, you know, other people or something, that they just, they're secluded from, you know, from society or something. Yeah, and they just decide that, I mean, there's not much to do. It's always cold, you know.
Some of those guys are, yeah.
And so, and a lot of them are weird, you know. but really, I mean, and, yeah. You know, and speaking for myself, you know, I'm not like normal in a lot of ways, I guess. But
please do tell.
I mean, I'm artistic, you know, so that kind of puts it, you know. I'm sure you.
Yeah,
you
get the weird thing.
Yeah, when was the last time somebody called you weird and why?
Yesterday, literally.
What was, seriously, why did they call you weird?
I'm always said weird because my responses are, I guess, not the norm for me. Like, people ask me, like, oh, you're having a bad day, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And they're like, that's not the right response.
You do
you're
that.
You're weird, and I'm like, hey.
Well, first off, as a greeting, are you having a bad day is a horrible greeting.
Yeah, well, that's the industry. I mean.
Really?
People literally look at my face and take a judgment on. And that's, again, something that comes with the makeup. Like, you literally put on makeup to kind of give yourself, like, a more welcoming face. And mm-hmm. I've been accused of RBA, resting bitch face, for everything.
Really? So when you do makeovers, you have that resting bitch?
Yeah. I don't have to smile just face. So you know I'm happy. Jesus Christ. I'm an elf.
Maybe, I don't know. That's weird, because I've never had, like, makeup.
Well,
like,
can you imagine me standing in front of you and smiling the whole time? I'd look like a
psycho. Yeah, actually, kind of, yeah.
I'm scary.
I'm picturing that right now, yeah. Trust me, that's not the worst thing I can think of.
And then I get really serious, like, I'm focusing and looking in certain areas.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, yeah. Why would you want to fuck with that?
I don't know. And so, like, people just get off put. So I literally do makeup and creativeness. And people are just like, you're weird. You're kind of like weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm
like, what's a weird creative makeover that you've done? Like.
I actually had a friend of mine want to be an alien for a photo shoot.
Nice.
So I had to make him alienish, still masculine, and do full body from waist up. So it was really hard.
Yeah.
Do you do special effects, or what are you doing
mostly? I actually have decided I want to. Right. In my mind, I'm really good at it already, but I have not. I've never done it.
I have some connections, so does Anna.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would love it. Yeah. I would love to practice, and I like practicing on people, like different people, random people. Like, I would do makeup on you. Yeah. And love
in the new year, and I've already talked to them, we're going to have Sig Neutron from Face Off and Randy Rowdle.
We'll have to have you come down for that.
I would love it.
Yeah, I saw them. They didn't know I was back in town, and so I saw them at the premiere, and I'm like, yeah, we got to have you guys back on the show. They're like, yeah.
Dope.
And that, you know, like, not right now, but, you know, in a little bit. And so,
well, yeah, they're
great. They're great. And so I know some other people that do it. And, yeah, so this is even scarier because you're, like, at a counter.
Yeah.
Like doing it for and trying to sell makeup, I'm assuming?
Well, no, I don't sell it. I would just apply it.
You apply it.
I kind of give people a makeover. So actually, when I see anybody anyways, I already see them how I think they should look.
Okay, so how should Sergio and Hannah look?
I was going to ask her that too.
Actually, Hannah and I have already done this, and she looks
she's
very
always
close.
On point.
Yeah, she looks like a mermaid to me in my life.
Yeah.
I see but
is there any change you would make?
No, if anything today, I would just put more lipstick. I always want her to look like.
Okay, so what about Sergio and me? What do you think?
Oh my gosh, you guys. You're putting me on the spot. You guys look great. And that's the thing. I don't think anybody looks bad.
So
I just see them the way I want them to look.
Okay, so I'm about to take Sergio off the spot. Like, you want to trim the eyebrows.
I would trim your eyebrows. I'd probably give you a good BB cream just to even out your skin tone and give you some type of sun protection during the day, and also moisturizer. A lot of fair skins need a lot more moisture. So I would probably take care of your skin more than give you makeup, unless you just want me to make you look like somebody, and then I can do that.
Well,
I'll make it look however you want, babe.
I'm just saying, if there's any suggestions, please.
No,
because I can get moisturized. I got hookups.
Honestly, daily, not everybody.
Well, men are different, though. I mean,
yeah, manscaping's hard. Like,
I wear makeup, but that's in my act. But I'll show you some of my makeup. Maybe you can give me some tips.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but, I would.
Yeah, sometimes it can be a little black metal. So.
So you kind of have like that Alice Cooper type of you know, like the tiered falling on.
Well, I've done things. I've had the Alice Cooper thing. I've had the tears, which I actually honestly stole from Evanescence, the one tear going down.
Yes.
So Mark, I love it.
Because I was at a comedy show and somebody's like, oh, what are you? You're ripping off Davey Havoc. I'm like, Davey Havoc? This is Evanescence, bitch. Right? And then I started doing the Pennywise thing too. But yeah.
How old were you when you applied makeup to yourself for the first time?
30.
30. Yeah. What made you do it?
My girlfriend started putting makeup on me. Ooh. At the time. Okay. And so I was like, well, why don't I wear this on stage? I'm already talking about the goth thing. Mm-hmm. So she used to put it on when we would go out to goth clubs, and that's how it happened.
That's cute.
I feel like if I knew what you wanted to do, I could make it better.
I'm sure. No, I've had a couple women make me up, and it looks so much better than what I do myself. Mm-hmm. But
and that's all about the hand and steadiness.
Maybe when you come back to that other show and the special effects guys, maybe they can make you.
Trust me, you got to see some.
That'd
of the
be
things.
Awesome.
You got to see some of the things Sig does. But anyway. Now you went beyond Metallica. Now you're
way past that. That was like little kid stuff.
That's little kid stuff. It's like
to be honest, like it to this day is still relevant to mm-hmm. my taste, mm-hmm. and I consider it to be awesome. I mean, I still listen to that stuff.
Sure.
And Justice for All, I just recently started listening to maybe like a month ago again. Like you know, like I was back in the day. But I definitely grew into the more to the more extreme metal, like you know, bands from Scandinavia, Norway, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Norway, Sweden, Finland, like anything that came from there was like amazing to me for some reason. And
right.
And
so is that when you hit LA or when you hit Colombia or
actually when I came to LA. I discovered the black metal scene, but not. I didn't discover it, you know, from bands here. I went to a store. I went to back then it was called the Warehouse. They used to, you
oh,
know,
I remember the Warehouse. You yeah, know, for the
yeah.
there was a Warehouse place where I lived, like across the street from where I lived. So I went there and I was looking for all these bands, you know, and just the artwork and the artwork would always sell me, you know, like just like Iron Maiden's. Album yeah. covers were always like, yeah, you know, at first you don't know what they sound like, but you see it and you're like, oh right. my God, that's fucking amazing, you know? So,
Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. And it's funny because I was talking about actually when we had our friend Brandon on, when I would see Grateful Dead covers, I thought it was great. And then you listen to music, you're like,
yeah,
it's a shit country.
I remember that.
But Iron Maiden, yeah, Iron Maiden albums covers are great.
But it was meant to kind of keep the feel of the music in a way. And, it you know, like Iron Maiden's a little bit more fun band, you know, right. and it still had a little dark image. But the colors and everything, right. it just kind of depicted.
And then they just kind of go through Cradle Filth.
Well,
then,
so that's kind of how, you know, how I got started. So I found a couple of bands that had, you know, like these crazy logos. I'm like, oh, that looks like it's metal. Obviously, it's not going to be country or, right. you know, right. it's not fucking right. Bon Jovi, you know.
Or even punk that has its own iconography.
Yes. Which, I mean, I did listen to a lot of glam rock as well growing up, you know, and I still like a lot of it. You know, I used right. to listen to Cinderella and Europe and Skid Row. And,
yeah.
you know, a lot of those bands are still, you know, part of my... And they're always going to be part of, like, who I am, you know,
sure. just
because I appreciate the guitar work and the songwriting and stuff. But black metal, like, I don't know. I think I discovered Cradle of Filth through a magazine. Like, I saw the CD, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of crazy, you know?
Right.
And then I was looking back when magazines were, like, a real thing right. that, you know, everyone read.
You're older than you're letting on, basically, is what you're saying.
But yes.
You used to go to record stores, you used to read magazines.
Yes, exactly.
Kids, that's how people discovered music back in the day.
We did not have cell phones back then, you
yes.
know?
No, we didn't.
We didn't know where we were standing. We just kind of... you know, went with it.
Depending how broke awesome. You were, you didn't have a house phone. But,
that's like I've been getting a lot into like the whole AI concept, you know, mm-hmm. how like it's gonna take over our lives at some point. And I mean, it already kind
it's
of is.
It's already
so back life. Then I didn't have any of that, you know, I didn't have any like any way of knowing where I am or, you know, if I need a ride, I can't get right. a lift or anything. Anyway, yeah, so that's the 90s for you.
Early
2000s. Yeah.
But if somebody were to so like, you know, like on the streaming services or even on YouTube, it's like, well, if you like this, then you'll like.
Yeah, you
like Thorns of Sin. Who would, what bands would you compare yourself to?
Well, I don't like the comparisons, but right. You know, I don't like to compare myself to anyone. I just kind of like do what I do, and I get influences from bands, but it's never pinpointed to like, oh, it's gonna be like this or it's gonna be like that. But a lot of people that have heard it have said that it reminds them of Dimmu Borgir, like some stuff like Arch Enemy, some stuff like Behemoth, you
right?
Know.
And I think part of that is your vocals.
Yeah, that
very much like that.
Correct. Yeah, but it's I don't know. I think it's just the feel of the music. You know, I try to go for like use a little bit like a little bit minor scales, and you know, try to do a little bit sounds a little bit darker. You know, because I'm very infatuated by the you know the whole look of you know the satanic imagery is kind of. It's not that I stand for it, but I really like I've always been attracted to everything that has to do with that, like the occult, like just knowing a little bit about it, you know. So
in now you're talking Hannah's language.
So in my lyrics, I showed her one of my lyrics for a song called Lust Through the Ashes, and I it's a story. It's pretty much a story about a witch that is sentenced to burn, and while she's burning, there's a priest present, you know, to make sure that everything is going the right direction or whatever. And she hypnotizes him while she's burning. She hypnotizes him to burn with her.
Oh, my God. Scary.
Through the, you know, through the scent of her skin burning, like, you know, really arouses him and stuff like that, which is kind of like a twisted thing, but it's a story, you know. It's not it's not something that I'm like, oh, like that's, you know, like that's what I want to see, or you know, it's just a story. It's like kind of like it's like a horror movie in a way, but it's depicted in music.
Because I know I was listening to one song when I was coming over to Laurel Canyon, and I couldn't make out all the words, but I did make out there was like sexuality. What was that song?
Oh, that's actually a cover song from a band called Death.
Okay,
but yeah.
So this is an album you had to make yourself. What is the underlying theme of this? Is it a concept album or just
the whole? Well, if you look at the album cover, there's it's a huge statue.
Mm-hmm.
Of what a lot of people would call something evil, like an evil presence, and it's destroying, you know, destroying the church in the back, like a cathedral, and the name of the album is called Destroy the Light, and if you look at it here, let me see if I can pull it up on my phone so you can see like the resolution of it, the whole theme of it is just me. Making this beast, you know, this crazy, powerful being that is Thorns of Sin.
Well, okay.
So that's what the album cover really is. Here, let me see.
I'm assuming that you grew up Catholic.
I did.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So you know, a lot of those things that I couldn't do, a lot of things that were forbidden. It was just like that's what I want, that's what I like, you know.
And
if you look at it here, for example, like if you zoom into the bottom of it, there's a person that person's supposed to be me.
Okay.
And I created this, you know, I'm protected by this huge entity that is.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It is. That's the whole idea behind, you know, the concept of the cover.
I think it looks really good.
Now, is it a concept album or is it not?
It's not a concept album.
Okay.
But there's this song called Destroy the Light. It's kind of like, you know, talks a little bit about
the story of the cover.
Yeah, it's a little bit of it, you know. Not in full detail because I don't really talk anything about myself in it, but it kind of... It just says something that's going on, you know, in there, so...
Now, did you play drums or did you use a drum machine?
I actually, in the album, I programmed the drums.
Right.
But I had to have a little bit of knowledge on how drums work for sure. Yeah. So I spent countless amounts of hours programming drums because if you hear the album, that like every drum hit is different, you know, and And yeah, I
no, you can hear like the bass drums,
everything.
And the,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's and I mean like some of it is copy paste and then changing some of the details and stuff. But it's a process that not a lot of people would be willing to sit down and get through themselves.
I'm sure. I'm sure. And so you probably have, you know, even though it's not your thing, you probably have a newfound respect for like people that do dance music and
absolutely. Things like that. I really, you know, on a side note, when I was a little kid, I also listened to Michael Jackson and stuff like that.
Sure.
You know? So like a lot of the electronic aspects, I can't even talk. The electronic aspects of pop music and stuff is something that I really got into. You know, something that like I mean, I still listen to a Michael Jackson song and I think it's awesome. You know.
Sure.
And, you know, if any metalhead listening to saying that that's fucking stupid or whatever, fuck you. Because seriously, like, we all grew up on it, you know.
Right.
And it's still music that everyone enjoys. Music is like a very universal thing, you know.
Universal
and,
language, for sure.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I was going to say about the drums, I lost my entire train of thought. I don't know what was, you said Michael Jackson.
Because I cussed.
Hypnotized.
No. Right. I'm
you're going to burn for lust.
I'm hypnotized by Sergio's beauty. But no, I got it back. No, I was going to say it has keyboards.
Yeah.
And it has electronic drums, but it doesn't sound industrial.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's a little influence, but it doesn't sound industrial.
The trick to not making it sound industrial is the fact that I chose to have real drum sounds as opposed to electronic drum sounds.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to choose electronic drums, it would have sounded completely like a different style of music.
You can do an industrial album, but this is what you chose.
I've actually messed around a little bit with industrial, you know, like dance, kind of stuff, and I love it. I love messing around with synthesizers and stuff. Maybe in the future I'll put something out, you know, like on the side, you know, as a a lot of artists, and people in metal, you know, they can't just stay in one genre forever. You know, they always have to kind of expand, and even if they have their band still, like
you're losing Hannah. But
I'm just taking a sip of water. I hear everything you say.
No, I know you're hearing it, but you're like, oh, this is like
I didn't grow up on metal. I still listen to like rock and roll.
I know, but
you know,
I know, but
I'm a guilty pleasures.
what you never have guilty pleasures. I always ask you. You're like,
I have guilty pleasures. I'm just particular about who
what's the guilty pleasure? Tell everybody. X, what is a song that you like that nobody would even think?
That I like, that she likes?
No, not that she likes. We know what she likes. She likes metal. But what is something that you listen to that people would be like, oh, that's dorky, that sucks?
God, you're putting me on the spot.
That's what I do. That's
I
the whole
love
deal.
It. I mean, I like Evanescence. I don't think that's dorky, but people in my genre will be looking at me like, "Why are you listening to Evanescence? What's wrong with you?"
Yeah,
I listen to everything though. I wake up and listen to the Beatles. Like I'm that girl.
Okay,
so like you would just be like, "Fuck you! I like everything."
Yeah, I literally love everything. Sometimes people literally ask me like, "Is there anything you don't like?" But I mean, to be honest with you. What do you think is dorky? And then I'll tell you.
No, that's okay.
What do you listen to, Mark? What's your guilty pleasure?
I already told you, I'm the one person in the world that doesn't like the Beatles, but that's just me.
See? I don't like the Beatles.
I can't. Yeah, it's just the two of us.
Grandpa doesn't like the Beatles either.
Right, who?
Grandpa, he doesn't like them.
Well, Grandpa's got good taste.
The Beatles are great.
I told
you guys are crazy.
No, my mother played it too much when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's literally.
I like Beatles influenced bands. I like Oasis. I like Cheap Trick. I don't like the Beatles.
It was the Beatles or Queen, and I love
Queen's
both.
Queen's great.
But I just. Yeah.
But no, I told you I like Spice Girls. Fuck it.
Oh my god,
right.
I don't care what anyone says.
Who's your what's your favorite Spice Girl, Mark?
I love Spice
Ginger
Girls.
Spice.
You want me to make you a Ginger Spice?
Yeah, I like Ginger Spice.
I can make you look like her.
I don't really need to look like
her.
Oh,
that would be fun.
I don't need to look like her.
No,
I actually funny you should say that. I dyed my hair raspberry once.
What? Let's do it.
Raspberry Splat, and it didn't go over too well.
That sounds like a song, Raspberry Splat.
I met a girl at a bookstore, which... I met a girl at a bookstore, which doesn't exist. You know, those don't exist
anymore. Sounds like a
now.
Prince song.
Got her number, and then I dyed my hair in the meantime. It took like a month and a half to get her to sit down and have a date. So then she's like...
And then you came with the raspberry splat.
I had the raspberry splat, and she wasn't
and
having it.
And she was like, whoops.
No, we sat. We had a drink, but she. I could tell from from her reaction, she's like, no.
Now, did you do a good job?
Yeah.
Was it all over your face?
No. It wasn't on my face. It was. It was already set in, but it was just.
Did it look raspberry? Like, what color did it end up being?
It was like, yeah, it was like a raspberry.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make you ginger.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Cause it,
and just
the shoes.
I know.
I don't think, no.
Spice up your life.
Ice. Yeah.
But yeah, who's your favorite Spice Girl?
I don't like the Spice Girl.
I know. Anyway, so.
My favorite was Scary, of course.
Yeah, Scary's cool.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, when you say Scary or Ginger,
Ginger's a redhead.
Yeah, I know there was one of each, but I know Ginger is probably the one with the red hair, obviously.
Scary's a black one.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is kind of racist, let's be honest.
Right, to be.
That is
TBH.
Weird. Like, I was going to ask,
she was
like, why.
Hottest, was... though.
Mel still looks hot.
Yeah, she does.
As a matter of fact, sidebar, Mel's autobiography is exclusively the audio version. Is on Audible. Audibletrial.com/DMS talks about Eddie Murphy, the whole thing.
Yeah. Nice. It's pretty juicy. Yeah. I read like just a little bit of it.
An excerpt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
I did.
Oh, okay.
It's really good.
Would listen to the audiobook?
I would. It's
yeah. Not Slipknot's, but Scary. They're scary.
Yeah, I take Spice Girls over Slipknot.
Okay, so.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah, who
yeah, any way right. you see
so,
it.
So, if you could go on tour with three bands, what would they be?
Oh, my God. Well, I just saw Behemoth, and obviously mm-hmm. they are a great, I mean, they're fucking unbelievable live. And I think the style of music that they play is kind of, you know, it would go well in a bill with us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. Another one, I mean, it's really hard. Dimmu Borgir, obviously,
mm-hmm.
or Cradle, you know, mm-hmm. that would be cool. A lot of people say that we have a, you know, like a little bit of influence from that, and
right.
we have a similar sound, I guess. So I think, I mean, that would be a fucking amazing tour if it was mm-hmm. Cradle of Filth, Demon Bourdieu, and Behemoth. Be like,
yeah.
fuck, and Thorns of Sin.
And Thorns of Sin. Don't forget Thorns of Sin.
It's like, fuck, like, you get four of the best bands in the world. So
yeah.
So when the album came out, it was pretty well received.
Yeah, it was.
It was
unreal. Like when I started getting reviews from different magazines and. And even it was
I know
funny.
It's on the Encyclopedia Metallium. I did see that. Yeah,
you really did do your homework.
That's what awesome. I do. That's what I do.
That's crazy.
So you are in the Encyclopedia. So you are officially metal. You are in the Encyclopedia Metallium.
Wow.
But you did do some shows.
Yeah.
So you found a band.
So I found the members. I never thought I was gonna make it to be a real live band. I just kind of wanted to put out an album for myself, and you know, if I ever die, I want my family or whoever to remember me by this record, you know.
Right.
And then I ended up meeting a really great drummer that came from Brazil, and he was amazing. He told me, you know, in his English, if I needed a drummer, you know, that he would be willing to drum for me. I was like, fuck, that would be cool, because I checked out his videos and he was just like a really, really great drummer. I was like, fuck,
yeah,
maybe I do need to put something together, you know. And I started looking around and thinking about it. I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'll just do a band, you know.
Yeah.
And it took me about about a month or two to get the whole lineup together, and having the recording made the whole process easier.
Okay.
Because I had something to show, you know. Mm-hmm. So once people heard it, they're like, dude, I want to be part of it.
So like, how long after it came out did people solicit to be in your band?
Probably like within like, you know, like the first couple months.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it just kind of started happening, and we started getting reviews from magazines like all
Kerrang and stuff.
Well, not them, unfortunately, but just a lot of different ones that people write in different states, you know, that are pretty well, you know, put together and well known, I guess.
Did you get any feedback from Colombia?
We did, actually.
Yeah.
And I you know, obviously a lot of my friends that I grew up with. Fuck, I keep pulling that cord.
Right.
Sorry.
If I had a dime for every time I did that.
Yeah. So I keep well connected with my friends in Colombia,
right.
and some of them, you know, like one of them became a Grammy Award winning producer and stuff like that.
That's
so
great.
He actually was the one that did the mastering on my album.
That's wow. great.
Yeah. So that was.
What's his name?
His name is Camilo Silva.
Great.
And he comes here sometimes for NAMM, which is just around the corner.
It's coming up, yeah.
And are you guys going or?
I might be going to AVN, but we'll see what happens.
AVN.
Oh, I thought you said NAMM. Oh, okay. Well,
they're always on the same weekend, so we'll see.
Oh shit! Right.
If I'm not going to AVN, I'll go to NAMM. But
we'll get you dressed up as Ginger Spice. Send you over there.
I'll accompany you as
maybe
scary.
Get some work.
Oh yeah. So,
no, but she'll be baby.
No, because metal is so big in South America though.
It is. It's
Why
huge.
Do you think that is?
I think because people have a different appreciation for music there, just like they do in Scandinavia. That's why a lot of the metal bands come from Europe and because I think when you're a kid growing up in those countries, music is a thing that you're supposed, you know, it's kind of mandatory for you to take music lessons and
right.
pick up an instrument and do, you know, drums, whatever, guitar.
Yeah.
And over here it's not as strict, you know. If you
right.
like the only concept that you have of a band here when you're in school is like, you know, like literally the school band for, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not very, you know, it usually those kids are made fun of or
right.
you know what I mean? It's so it's not something that people want to be, you know, but over there there's, you know, there's more of an acceptance for music. And, you know, like, I mean, I grew up with, you know, my godfather was always playing guitar, you know, kind of
yeah.
thing.
Man. But and even, I, yeah, I mean, I saw some 60 Minutes thing about Gustavo Dudamel, the composer for the LA Philharmonic. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what country he's from, but yeah, I know they were talking about just his music everywhere.
Yeah. Mm. It's strange to me, you know. The education system over here doesn't really encourage, you know, people to be artistic in any way.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like
it does encourage a lot, actually.
That's right. True. That's true. And even
encourages,
you know,
conformity. That's right. What
it
encourages.
Yeah. It makes you conform is the perfect word. You know, it makes you conform with whatever the society is doing or whatever it's going, and
right.
and you don't really get to really explore into your own creativity, you know, and it's like when you're creative, it's not that's what it is.
And where does the time go? But I've got a couple questions before we go.
Sure.
No, we got right. about 5 minutes. Yeah. So we're gonna go back to this reading.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. I have to down this beer.
I don't know what
you
have to down that beer in 5 minutes. Okay. Lost, well, anyway, I was saying, who are your guitar influences?
Oh, Marty Friedman and Jason Becker and Paul Gilbert and Steve Vai and Nuno Bettencourt.
All the shredders.
All the fucking gods, for sure.
And
that's it.
Yeah, and so I was going to say, why don't you think they're guitar heroes now?
Oh,
like they used to be.
Well, because they're harder to notice, just because there's so many people on social media. It feels funny, like,
yeah,
seeing the whole thing, but it, on social media, there's a lot of people that, you know, that say, oh, like, I'm in a band, I'm a lead guitar player, and so it's really hard to sift through who actually is good and who's not, you know?
Right.
And but I think the talent is out there. I think there's some monsters out there for guitar playing, for sure. The guy from Scar Symmetry, Per Nilsson, is probably one of the best.
And he played on your album.
And he played on my album. I'm lucky enough. I have the guitar player from Meshuggah and Scar Symmetry on my album, which is fucking awesome.
So are you working on a new album now?
I am working on a new album right now, and it's a little bit different from the old one.
Full band?
I'm recording it myself right now. I'm just writing, because the writing process started before I actually... It's a long story. The lineup changed in the last 3 years. We changed lineups.
That's the way it goes.
So so I started writing in that amount of time, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I guess the
so you have the a new fireball. You have a new lineup.
The fireball.
So I was a little bit sick before I came here. So
no. So you're gonna but. You're gonna. It's a long story, folks. But it's a. You have a new lineup. But you're gonna be doing the album yourself primarily.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Like the writing is always predominantly gonna be me. Yeah. Like doing the writing, and it sounds a little bit different. It's a little bit more going back to my metal roots, my original, kind of stuff. A lot of, you know, Justice for All influence and a little bit more Iron Maiden and
more old Judas school Breeze. Metal.
Yeah, a little bit.
And less black and death metal.
But it's still going to have a little bit of that, you know, that dark sound. Obviously, the vocals are still going to remain the same and it's going to be cool.
And how do you do that live, night after night? I asked Otep the same thing here.
I just do it. It's a technique, you know. It's I mean, I'm sure when you're talking into the microphone, like you have a way of keeping it up so that way you can keep talking every, you know.
No. But no. because I've done karaoke and scream my head off, but I can't do the next song.
Well, it's a technique, you know. Yeah. It definitely is a technique, you know. If you're not careful, definitely by the end of the night, you'll end up losing your voice, you know. But
has that ever happened to you?
It did in the beginning. Now not so much. I just like sometimes I get a little bit sore from it, but it's something that by the next day I'll be able to do another set for sure.
Hannah will tell you the soreness means it's metal.
So,
yes. So, Hannah's metal as fuck. I mean,
yeah, well, there's just no question about it.
She's super metal.
So where does the time go? Sergio, I heard you got some shows coming up.
Yes.
How can people find you on social media too?
Well, we're on Instagram, Facebook.
Thorns of Sin.
Thorns of Sin. Just look it up. Thorns of Sin on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, anything. I mean, if we're not there, we're not there. But if you find us, you find us. You know?
Exactly.
We're on most.
They're not on Tidal, but they are on Spotify.
Yes, we're on iTunes. Ugh. We're on Google Play. We're on Amazon. I mean, if you have a PlayStation and you go into the music, you can find us there.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, which I love video games anyway. But yeah. So we're playing.
Time.
Yeah, we'll have to do a video game talk for sure. But we're playing this coming Saturday, December 15th, in Santa Ana at a place called Malone's with a lot of really good bands.
I played Malone's.
Have you?
Yeah, Malone's is great.
Yeah, it's a really good venue. We're playing with about 10 bands. We're going to have the guys from Voices of Ruin. It's actually called Ruin Fest.
Right. That's how Malone's does it.
Yeah.
They always have like 10 bands.
Well, because they have two stages.
So
it's really easy to have band after band.
Yeah.
One of them is breaking
coming
down,
in.
And then the other one is already playing. You know?
Exactly,
so It's a really cool venue, so we're excited to play it, and it's gonna be our first show in 3 years. So it's gonna be a great gig to come back.
Yeah,
you know. So
the Malone's is a cool place, and a lot of bands like you, it's gonna be a great time.
Oh yeah, we played there before and we did really well. Like people really dug it, and actually that's why we're going back. You know, because
it's always a good vibe.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like really, really good sound, and everybody was super cool and accepting of us and everything. We're also playing at the Regent Theater in January.